Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shirim and Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak Shalom. We're now on Masachet Menachot Daf Lamed Tet Amud Aleph. This will be our second Shiur in the fourth Perek, Perek HaTchelet of Menachot. Again, where we are focused on the issues of Tzitzit and the Mitzvah of Tzitzit. And picking up in towards the beginning of the Amud, Amar Rav Adab, Nifsak Achut Meikaro Psula. If the string is fully ripped out, then it is Pasul. Okay, as opposed to the Gardumim that we dealt with earlier that had some minimal piece sticking out. Rav Nachman Kamar Lala Hashmata. Rav Nachman reported this in his Beit Midrash. Eitav Rav Lav Nachman, his student Rava, challenged him. Bamed Vamemurim Tchilato. When do we require a full shear at the beginning? Havosofo, but at the end, meaning after it's been put in and then been cut short, if it's been cut short, Shiarav Vigardumav Kolshu are Kolshu, meaning any shear. Now, what is Shiarav and Gardumav? My love, Shiarav de Ifsak Minayu, Ishtari Minayu. Shiarav meaning there's a remainder, as we've been dealing with throughout Menachot of Shirayim, and Gardumav must be de Gardumi Gardume, that was fully cut off. So, lo. Rav Nachman says that's not what the Brayta reads. Chadak Tani, it's one piece. Shiurei Gardumav Kolshu, meaning if there is a remainder of the shredded piece, then a small amount is enough. And the small amount, we said, is enough to tie it. Vilema Gardumav Shirav Lamali. So why not just say the word Gardumav? Why does the Brayta eventually confuse us by adding the second word in? Hakamashmanin Shiurei Gardumav Kadelan Vana teach you that there must be something remaining, and that is enough to tie. Yativ Rabba Vakama Mishmei Derav. Now we have a few instances where Rav Yosef corrects traditions of the way people report things. Rabba first reported in Rav's name, Chut Shel Kerech, that means the winding string. Olemin Aminyan counts as one of the eight strings. Amar Rav Yosef, Shmuel Amar Rav Lo Rav. Rav Yosef corrected and said, that's really Shmuel's teaching and not Rav's. Itmar Nami, we also have a statement from Eretz Yisrael, Amar Rav Machana Masachli Rabbi Yoshia Devin Usha, so also in Eretz Yisrael, Rabbi Yoshia taught that it counts. Yativ Rava Bakama Mishmei Shmuel. Now Rava was the next generation, taught in Shmuel's name. Tchelet Shekarach Rubak Shera. Tchelet here referring to generically to Tzitzit. If you wrapped around a majority, meaning a majority of the strings coming down were enwrapped and not loose, we'll see what the proper shear is, it's still kasher. Rav Yosef, Rav Amar Avalo Shmuel. That one's backwards the other way. It really was Rav who said it. And Itmar Nami, Amar Vuna Bar Yehuda, Amar Sheshet, Amar Yirmiyah Bar Abba, Amar Rav. So here we have a Memra reporting directly back to Rav. Tchelet Shekarach Rubak Sherab. Good. Avchia Bredu of Natan Matniachi. That he had a different version, meaning more expanded version of what Rav taught. Amar Vuna, Amar Sheshet, Amar Yirmiyah Bar Abba, Amar Rav. Tchelet Shekarach Rubak Sherab. Afilo Korach Ba'el Al Chulia Achat. And even, on the other hand, a minimal shear, if you only wrapped it for one segment, then kshera, v'noyei tchelet shlish gdil u'shnei shlishay anaf. In other words, a one wrapping segment, and we'll see how big it has to be, is sufficient. Even if a majority is wrapped, it's acceptable, but the ideal is one-third wrapped, two-thirds loose. V'kama shior gdil is like a braid. V'kama shior chulia, how big should a segment be? Tani Rabbi Omer, Kadesh Yichroch Vishnevi Shalesh. It should be at least three wraps around. However, Tana, we have a tradition, Apochet Leifchot Misheva, Mosif Leosif Ashloshesrei. You should have no less than 7 and no more than 13. And indeed, most traditions have 7 and 8 and 9 and 13 or 11 and 13 different amounts. Apochet Leifchot Misheva, why? Kenegat Shever came to correspond to the 7 heavens, the Midrashic 7 heavens. Why no more than 13? Keneged, Shiva, Rikiin, Vishishavir, and Shivanehem. You have 7 heavens, and there's 6 spaces in between them that separate between these heavens. Now, what's interesting comment about this is two things. First of all, we find again homiletic halacha, as we had earlier with Safrut and with Tfilin, that the halacha is directed by homiletic consideration and a symbolic consideration. Second thing is, so for instance, the way you write a hey and the way you write a chet in a Sefer Torah are determined by a symbolic implication for Am Yisrael, for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, etc. The placement of Tefillin Shel Yad and the Keshe Shel Tefillin Shel Rosh is driven by a certain homiletic consideration. The second thing is that based on this homiletic consideration, There should be either 7 or 13, and yet the prevailing custom is to do, as it says, between 7 and 13, so for instance 8 and other numbers, even though they correspond neither with the amount of heavens or heavens plus the spaces between them. So the homiletic directive becomes a little bit loose. Okay, Tanak Shumatchil Matchil B'Lavan. When you begin, the first one that you wrap is with the Lavan. Hakanaf Min Kanaf, because the Torah first directs you to put on Lavan. Shumasayim Masayim B'Lavan. Now this assumes now that you're going to be wrapping with both color strings, and you should start with the Lavan and end with the Lavan, because Malin Makodesh V'Lo Moridin, the end of the mitzvah is at a holier status, it was as it were, than the beginning, and you want the Lavan to move up in holiness. Okay? Rav Ram Rachana Havu Yatvi, they were sitting. Have Kochali Fa'azalahu Gavra, the Michase Glima the Chule Tchelta. A fellow walked by with a garment that was entirely blue. Verami Le Tchelta, and he had tzitzit on it. Vigudila Migdila, and it was all braided, meaning the tzitzit were all wrapped, there was no free flowing strings. Amarava Ya'i Glima Velo Ya'i Tchelta. Rav said, nice garment, not very nice tzitzit. Rav Bar Chana said, no, they're both nice. My Kemi Palgi, what were they disagreeing about? Rav Bar Chana Savar, Ktiv, Gdil, Uchtiv, Ptil. Ptil is the string, and the Gdil is the braid. O Gdil, O Ptil, which means he thinks Tzitzit can be either all free-flowing or all braided. There's no need for it to be both. Rav Savar, Leolam, Ptil, Bainan. Really, you need to have some free-flowing strings. Vahi Gdilim, why does it say Gdilim Taselacha? Leminyana hudata, to tell you how many strings to put in. Gedil is shnayim, because a braid can't be with less than two. So the minute it says gedil, you have to have two strings. Gedilim, when it says it in the plural, arba'a, there's four. So you put four strings in and double them over. Asay gedil, so you have to make a braid of four strings, which are now eight strings. Upotleo mitocho, and then have the ptil come from it, just as our tzitziot have a pair section that's braided and a section that comes from it, which is loose. And that was their disagreement about this beautiful garment, then tzitzit. Amar Shmuel Mishmei de Levi. Chutei tzemer potrin b'shel pishtan. You can use wool strings to exempt a linen garment. Now the question is, Ibayelahu, and that's the famous sugya of Sadim Tzitzit, but Ibayelahu, the question is, shel pishtan mao shiftru b'shel tzemer. Can you use linen strings to exempt a wool garment? What are the sides of the argument? Maybe wool only exempts linen because after all, the Torah says, put tchelet on your garment. And tchelet has to be wool. And therefore, the Torah gives wool this power to exempt even a linen garment. So we would say also wool white strings work because wool works on linen. Perhaps the inverse doesn't work where you take linen. Perhaps linen was not given that power to exempt semer. Because of the juxtaposition, where the Torah says, do not wear shatnez, which is wool and linen together, and then it says, but make tzitzit, the butt is the midrashic butt of the juxtaposition, so lo shtat semer fishtim and lo shtat pishtim betzemer. So it doesn't matter whether you're using tzemer to exempt a linen garment or linen strings to exempt a wool garment, which is it? The answer is that they work, both Semer and Pishtim strings are the super poter, they can poter either kind of garment. Now, not only that, but either kind of string exempts any other kind of garment. Even silk garments. So if you wore a silk garment of tzitzit, you could use either wool or linen strings. They are the universal potrin. Now, Upligat Rav Nachman. This statement is at odds with Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman, Asherim Turim Min HaTzitzit. Silk garments are Patur Min HaTzitzit. We'll see why. Eitavei Rav Lav Nachman. So his student challenged him and said, Ashirayin Vakalach Vasrikin. These are three different kinds of grades of silk going down in quality. Kulan Chayavin B'Tzitzit. So his answer is Mid Rabbanan. There's some rabbinic obligation to do that, but not Mid Oraita. So the end of that statement is that Semer upishtim exempt them. So Imar Pishtim Adoraita Hainu Dimishtaru Bo Kilaim. We think that Semer upishtim means you could use wool and linen strings together, meaning linen white and wool tchelet, together on the silk. So if you agree that the beged is chayav de oraita, that's why there's a heter of kilayim on them, because the Torah says you got to wear tzitzit here. But if it's only drabanan, how could the Torah permit kilayim here? So ema o tzemer o pishtim. Don't read it tzemer u pishtim. It means either tzemer or pishtim will be acceptable on this silk garment. It's only drabanan, so you can't put shatnez on it, but you could put either one of those. Of course, there's no shatnez mixing wool or linen with silk. It makes sense to read it that way because at the end it says they exempt in their own kind, but they don't exempt in other kinds, meaning silk. If you agree that silk is only derabanan, meaning to put tzitzit on a silk garment, that's why silk strings will work on silk. But if you think that silk garments are chayav d'oraita, tzemer pishtim huda patar, only tzemer pishtim should work. And we're under the assumption that tzemer pishtim are the only kind of strings that will work anywhere. So it must be that other kind of garments, cotton and nylon, whatever it is, are going to be chayav d'rabanan, and that's why other kinds of strings, like nylon and cotton strings on them, will work. So imishim halo iria, that's not a proof. Why? Rava Rami. Rava found a contradiction. Ktiv hakanaf min kanaf, meaning put on a string that's the same as the beged. Uchtiv tzemer ufishtim, it also says wool and linen. Haketzad, very simple. Tzemer ufishtim poten ben minan men shalom minan. Tzemer ufishtim work whether they're on the same kind of garment or any other kind of garment. Sharminim, other strings work minan potrin shalom minan in potrin, only work on their own kind. So silk strings work for silk, cotton strings work for cotton, but wool and linen are universal. So what does Rav Nachman do with that? Ketana Rabbi Shmuel. The Tana Rabbi Shmuel, this is his source. This is Rav Nachman's source for saying that non-wool or linen garments, meaning anything else, are not chayav in tzitzit. Ho'il v'nemru begadim b'torah stam. The Torah refers to begadim several times. Ho'perat l'chal ketub b'chad mi'an tzemru fishtim. And in one place, the Torah defined begadim as being wool or linen garments. And that is in Sarat HaBeged. I've called Tzemer Ufishtim. That's in the end of Parshat Azriya. I've called Tzemer Ufishtim. Therefore, Begadim always means Tzemer Ufishtim. And therefore, when the Torah says, Al Kanfei Vigdeyem LeDorotam, about Tzitzit, it is referring only to wool and linen garments. Amar Abaye V'aytan Rabbi Shmuel, Mavka Me'idach Tan Rabbi Shmuel. But that statement of Tan Rabbi Shmuel goes against another teaching in the school of Rabbi Shmuel about Sarat HaBeged. He says, how do I know that I should include all sorts of different garments, which is not just lamb's wool, but camel wool and rabbit wool and goat hair and other kind of garments, and silk, minayin, let's take it even away from animal hair, minayin, how do I know that they could also be vulnerable to tzarat habeged? Tamud Lomar, O Beged, Beged Semer, O Beged Pishtim. The O includes it to allow for other kinds of garments, and in that read, Semer Upishtim are simply examples and not the exhaustive list. Okay, we'll pick it up in the next podcast with the discussion of Sadin B'Tzitzit, that we already encountered at the end of the previous parak, and we will see it more fully now. In the meantime, everybody should have a wonderful day.